Data is everywhere, and the creation of new data is growing exponentially, including in healthcare. Today, I will show you an approach to reinvent the way to handle and exchange data in healthcare. I'm a consultant at IBM for the last 6 years. I'm based in Switzerland and work globally with clients in healthcare and life science. Blockchain, in essence, is about organizing data in ecosystem between enterprises and individuals. It's much more than technology. It's about defining a sustainable business and governance model. And I have the opportunity to shape projects from the very early phase of enterprise blockchain. This means both defining the strategic perspective as well as building blockchain-based platforms and obviously extending those platforms within this ecosystem. And today I would like to share my experience with you on especially how blockchain is one of the key technology can help to solve the challenges in healthcare. I won't go into technical details rather than focusing on the business rationale, why clients are exploring and investing substantial amount of money into this area, and why there's such a strong need for change in healthcare. I will also show you how do you find suitable opportunities and in your company, and where you can start, how you can think ahead of those different stages where you could go. So what are the trends in healthcare? The first trend, digitization. Digitization is not only a digitization of the handwritten documents. There's also an increasing amount of data created by devices within hospital, at physicians, but also wearables of the patient and other clinical workers. And all this amount of data needs obviously a strategy, how to organize the data, how to exchange the data, what standards to adhere to in order to, for example, to exchange data. And there's also advancements in personalized medicine. Personalized medicine means it's not only a medicine, a standardized one, but really personalized for the individual patient based on the disease. And this obviously is because it's personalized, it's very linked to their electronic health records. And this means those electronic health records is not only, as the word says, records, but also something which are more actively used in the diagnosis and treatment of patients. And patient also becoming more knowledgeable. They also want to get more involved in their treatment journey and want to also have a bigger impact in the decision taken for them. And this you can summarize in the word patient-centered healthcare. The fourth trend is about traceability of goods, traceability of medication. And this has two sides. Sometimes it's based on regulation that pharma companies need to able to show traceability to make sure a certain good has been transported in a safe way, in a temperature-controlled way. But sometimes it's also the ecosystem which is asking for this traceability, for example, the healthcare provider. And the fifth trend is about the topic everyone is asking for a solution is about the cost explosion. All over the world, in the US, in Europe, in Asia Pacific, but also in the regions like Africa, Middle East. And this comes also with because the treatments are getting much more expensive, because they are more personalized, they are more targeted. And one topic which became more and more important in the last couple of years is outcome based models. So basically, the insurance, the payers will only pay when the outcome promised has been achieved. And the last trend here on this slide is about data ownership. increasing amount of data means also the ownership should be clarified. At the moment, data creator is usually also the owner, for example, the hospital, the physician. It is very difficult for the patient to get control and manage the data. And some regulation, like in Europe, but also in the US, tries to change it. And you see all these trends, even though they are not targeted like to a technology, those are like general trends in healthcare, all of them need a foundational understanding of data, how to manage data, how to control own data, but also how to exchange data between the different institutions, between individuals within the healthcare ecosystem. And why is blockchain now linked to those challenges? So when you summarize blockchain, or how I would summarize blockchain, into like two distinguished perspective, is it's about traceability and predictability. So these two words are very important to describe blockchain, because it's about, on the one hand side, traceability. So it's about data records. You can imagine can be supply chain data, can be health information data. So everything which is recorded with a timestamp, with a location, with certain people, certain identities, like a patient, a physician being involved. So all data records which are stored somewhere, but what you also want to make sure it's traceable and it's secure, in the sense of it's something you cannot change in hindsight. And looking at the second one is predictability. The predictability is more about when you have this trusted data records, you want to automate some process. You want to build, for example, process automation into it. And if you, when thinking about process automation, the only thing you want, or the thing you want like to avoid, is if you cannot predict, or you don't know what this process automation is about. And you can compare this this with the picture, the guardrails, right? So when you stand beside let's say a highway, you are mostly safe, but there's a small chance that one of the cars can hit you, because you cannot control each and individual car on the highway. But looking at the picture about the train, there's a train tracks. If you know the speed of the train, if you can adjust the right setting of the tracks, if you have all the information needed, there's I would say 100% certainty that if you stand beside the track, that you don't get hit by the train. And this is the same like predictability that blockchain brings to the that blockchain brings to the table, that you can, with a very high certainty, if you have look into the code, the high certainty saying what the code is gonna do. And this is, for those people who are a bit more interested, this is the smart contract, the smart contracts in the blockchain context. In going back to the trends, so the trends was all about like how to manage data, how to make use of this data. And you can split this into like three stages of like, we would call this like maturity of use case, right? On the very bottom, it's all about data management, data control. So building the data foundation for a certain data standard in order to make the data readable and also analyzable. And when you go into the next level, this gets more interesting, that you make use of the data, you can get more insights. You can, based on of those insights, you can optimize certain processes. You can, with those insights, you can also increase improve the patient experience in a certain area. And the highest value of this level is automation, that you can automate processes which today runs manually, you can automate it, but also processes which are new to the system can be automated. And the third level is probably the most interesting level, is when it, based on this this common data layer, this this insights you can get from those data, you can build a marketplace. And when I say marketplace, it's really about exchanging data between institutions, between individuals, or can be for money, can be for other type of data, can be for services, for in the healthcare context for treatments. And today we don't have this fluidity, this liquidity of data being exchanged on an industry level. And this is what blockchain and many other technologies in combination with many other technology brings to the table. Building this marketplace and on top of that also a data economy. And when you move from the first to second to third level, the size of the ecosystem usually increases and the value generated as well. So the size of the ecosystem on a very first level is you can manage data on your own. You can, if you're only one company, this is something you can already do. If you move to the second level, if you want to optimize it, get some insight, do some process automation, obviously you can do it in your small bubble with this one company, but the value increases much more if you do it with multiple companies. For example, if you can automate the processes of supply chains between different companies. And the third level, it's even bigger, because the size of the ecosystem, the value of the ecosystem is increasing with this marketplace. And this, and here comes also the degree of decentralization into the game, that because decentralization is a word you always hear linked to blockchain, to Web3, to all these keywords, that and decentralization is in the essence about how to grow, but not in a centralized manner, but in a decentralized manner. So you split the work among many shoulders, and to make sure everyone gets a certain level of benefit, gets incentive to be part of an economy, of a marketplace, to make this work, make this running. So many people usually wonder how you can measure a successful decentralized economy, a decentralized marketplace. And at the moment, when you look into those projects of public blockchain, for example, the degree of decentralization or the success of those can be measured into multiple KPIs, but you can measure into token price. Token price is usually the one which gets most attention news, and it fluctuates depending on demand. But what's even more interesting for me are the metrics below, like the number of active wallets, how many people are participating in an ecosystem. And it's also the size of the community, how many people are contributing to the code, are building on top of the code, are innovating. And it's also linked with innovation, or the application built on top of a certain or within a certain ecosystem, is the value locked in those apps. Locked means the value locked in those apps means that the value transferred through those application can be used for additional innovation, can be used to build on top, extend those applications. And there are and what's also a very useful measure are the number of code comments. And this you can measure the activity of the community in a certain space. And this is something you can link to in a centralized world with the R&D pipeline. So the larger the R&D pipeline is, the things which are coming, then this is which are coming to the market and will generate revenue. Same will happen with code comments. It's something which is getting collected, but then also being utilized for future applications or future code. And from those, if you look at these three stages, it's this. You think about how can I build on a, let's say, how can I choose the right blockchain use case in order to make it work in the healthcare space? And linked to these three stages I just shown you before, where you have the data management control, getting some more insights, and then having this marketplace and this ecosystem, you can split this tree into those stages. So having the foundation stage in at the very beginning to make sure the data is organized, make sure that you choose what you want to actually put on there, what you want to exchange, what identity you want to have on the blockchain to participate. And only after that you can go to the optimization page stage, which is about trying to find opportunity to optimize, to improve, to automate processes. And I think the important message here is those different levels are built on top of each other. So you cannot start directly with the disruptive level, but rather you need to start on the foundation, you need to get the data structure clear, you need to find some common standards within an ecosystem, until you can move to the next stage and then to the next stage. And the topics you can look into in foundation optimization and also disruption level can be split into three pillars. And these three pillars are the traceability pillar, identity pillar, and value exchange pillar. So these are like the areas, the topics which can be looked into when starting a blockchain use case. And the traceability pillar is all about having this traceability, this trusted data stream. So defining what data you want to use. Is it supply chain data? Is it healthcare data? Is it patient information? So it's all about like what happened, when, and how. So you have a certainty of provenance. You can always go back and have a trustworthy data stream you can work with. And why is it important to have a trusted data stream? Because based on this trusted data stream, you can build automated process on top of it. You can exchange this trusted data with other institutions, with other individuals. And with other individuals, this brings me to the next pillar, identity. Identity means who is actually on the platform exchanging data, who is actually on the platform managing its their own data or someone else's data. And here it's important to know who has authority to transact, to own data, and to exchange with other individuals. And last but not least, the value exchange pillar. Here's all about exchanging, about transaction, to make sure you can exchange peer-to-peer, and this in an automated, fast transfer without a centralized authority. And this has been proven in multiple use cases within blockchain, for example, most famous one, Bitcoin, you can transact peer-to-peer. And looking at these three pillars, you can basically link it to the three stages I presented before and say, okay, let's start with a use case in identity foundation, and let's see how we can optimize this identity pillar. Or you can choose a use case in traceability, for example, in supply chain, and see what data I want to put onto the blockchain. How can I create a trace within through multiple companies, to multiple providers in healthcare, and how can I move this to the optimization? How can I add value to this data by getting insights? And only when you in the disruptive phase, all these three pillars will be combined, and only with that you can reinvent like the business models we know today, because you know who is transacting with a trusted data stream, and you're able to exchange data. But before going there, it's important to have a certain understanding of those three pillars, but also have practical experience in those three pillars. And from business context, it's usually always the first question is always, what's the return on investment of a blockchain use case? And it's very important to be aware in what stage you get what kind of business return. In foundational, it's mostly about reducing risk. By having this data in a controlled environment, and data you can actually own by the individual, manage and controlled, this is usually the very first stage. And the main benefit you get out of it, you can reduce risk because you have this trusted data stream. So you can always verify at someone or with someone that this data you show is actually the truth. In the optimization, it's about reducing cost. And reducing cost, you can achieve by optimizing certain processes, but also by automation of certain processes. And this is how you can reduce cost. And about increasing the revenue, this is on the disruption level, because this is the place where you can create this data economy in a certain industry, for example, in healthcare, exchanging data against certain value, certain tokens, against services, and so on. And this is the place where you can really incentivize people to be part of it and be active within this ecosystem. I would like to show you like three real use case examples, like three projects. In some I've been personally also involved, to show you that all these pillars can be actually linked to use case examples. The first one's about patient ownership and control of electronic health records data. And this is a project in Southeast Asia, which was about patient controlling the data within a network of hospitals and physicians, because they had the issue or the challenge that patient going from physician to physician or from hospital to hospital, but data hasn't been transferred and tests had to be redone, and all the data is it was not a smooth process of transferring the data between the providers. And the idea here is that the patient owns the data, which actually makes sense because the patient is moving from hospital to hospital physically, and would be great that the data moves with them as well. So this was a project which involves the identity pillar, obviously, because the patient is an identity giving access to, of their data to the physician, to the hospital. And the traceability pillar is about the trusted data stream being their own electronic health records. The second use case example is about outcome-based models for targeted cancer treatments. This is a project which happened in happening in Eastern Europe and in the US. And because of those, of the high cost of those targeted cancer treatments, payer were asking for outcome-based models. So they only pay if the target the treatment actually work. And sometimes it's also for the pharmaceutical companies very interesting to go in a certain market where it's difficult to establish a certain footprint because of the high cost of certain medication. And this is always an opportunity to step into markets which is much more difficult to get costly treatments into to the patient. And how we did it there is basically combining the traceability pillar, basically here the outcome of the treatment being certain measurements at the hospital of the change before the treatment and after the treatment, defining some target values to be reached. And if those are reached, then obviously the treatment was successful and a certain payment has been released, which is the value exchange pillar. And here, why I don't have any identity, because this is we didn't focus on like ownership of data in this project. It was solely about the certain condition of the data of the patient being the electronic health records, automating some processes in exchanging values from the payer to the pharmaceutical manufacturer. And the last use case example is about supply chain tracking for personalized treatments. The challenge was there that personalized treatments usually takes a substantial amount of time to reach the patient. And usually within this time, it's very unclear for many in this ecosystem. So for the physician, for the hospital, for the patient, very unclear where, in which stage the personalized treatment is actually already produced or on its way. And this is a way of sharing this tracking data to the patient, but as well as to the physician. And it's much more because this data is not controlled by one enterprise. It's not only controlled by the manufacturer, because when it leaves the manufacturer, it passes a couple of stations before it reaches the patient. And here it's really to create a certain patient experience with the identity pillar and also traceability pillar being the supply chain data here. I hope with these three examples, I could give you some ideas what are the topics which has already been tried out in the industry, and maybe you also raise some new ideas. And to close my presentation, I would focus like on the lessons learned in my past years in blockchain and healthcare. It's about the focus on the business model and governance over technology, because technology, even though in the beginning it's many people are afraid that it is a complex technology, can you implement it, how we can make sure the data is implemented in the correct way. Yes, but all these things are usually solvable issue, and I would say, rather quickly solvable challenges. Comparing to the biz model and governance model, if you're in an ecosystem with multiple players, the different players have different demands, different visions how this ecosystem should evolve. And if there's not a clear business or governance model in place, usually this project or this ecosystem is not living for a long time. That's why it's key to also address the business and governance part in a very early stage already. Use a different set of KPIs. If you think back of the slide, I showed you different metrics. This is one way to start. We have a couple of more of those, but important is not to think about short-term return on investment. It's not the right project to gain short-term ROI. It's about the mid-term, the long-term gain. The earlier you're in this area, the more impact you can do. And if you're early, you're also in the driver's seat. You can define the standards. You can define who is part, how are the rules set, and so on. So the KPIs here cannot be compared to like a simple software implementation, not at all. And the third point is leveraging industry standards to make sure it is interoperable, but also scalable. So defining new standards only one company is using is not beneficial. It's really focusing on to industry standards, which are in the ideal case, not only in one country or a certain area, but also something which is used on a global level. So it's easier for people to get into this ecosystem. It's easier for companies to be part of it and to recruit new companies for your ecosystem. So with that, I would like to close my presentation. And if you have any question, feel free to get in touch with me. Thank you.